This is Nursing in America. Each week, we speak with incredible nurses from all over the world who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream.
Welcome to Nursing in America. I am your host, Tanya Friedman, Chief Executive Officer here at Kinetics USA. I've invited Luciana Da Silva to be the guest host for a few episodes. She'll be speaking with nurses now living in America to figure out what life is really like. Enjoy.
Today, I'm speaking with Josephine. She is from a city 4 hours south of Manila in the Philippines, but now lives and works here in the U.S.
Georgia. How are you liking Georgia?
I like Georgia because the cost of living is cheaper and you have this, there's a lot of trees and the weather is nicer. I think there's no extreme cold, no extreme heat. It's just fine, actually. So I said, I was about to go to California, but then I changed my mind because the rent is high, cost of living is high. So I stayed here and I'm loving it, actually.
Good. I lived in Atlanta for several years.
Uh-huh.
So I know Georgia, and I live in San Diego now, and I can tell you that it's definitely cheaper in Georgia, and it's a great lifestyle too. I'd gained so much weight though because that Southern food is incredible.
Oh yeah.
Tell me about the food. Tell me about the food.
I've been to the Carolina, I've been to Nevada, I've been to Arizona, and like the food, I say that Georgia has the best food.
It does.
Georgia has the best food, yeah. The fried okra, you know, everything fried, pickles. Oh,
now you're making me really miss home. What's your specialty as a nurse? Do you have a specialty or?
Yeah, I am a hemodialysis nurse. Right now, I'm a program manager. I do most of the office work. I do some bedside when we are understaffed. I do on-calls if I don't have a staff. But mostly, I do, you know, the backside, you know, doing all the talking with the, you know, important people, with the hospital administration, dealing with the problems, dealing with the staffing, dealing with the scheduling.
Your management, that's great management right there. Worked your way up. Fantastic.
Yeah.
What made you want to leave the Philippines and come to the United States?
Because, you know, like when you're in the Philippines, when they say it's America, it is something that you will be, you know, there's money in America. Like when I was little, I think like money is growing on trees in America. So it's just like an ultimate dream. I want to be in the U.S. And I have a relative here. She's actually in New York. And so when she comes home, she would bring like all these imported coffees, chocolates, and we will be just given a small bottle of coffee and some chocolates. And I said, I want to be a nurse also. I want to go to the US someday. But then it's just like, I grown out of me. And then I changed what I want to be when I, you know, when after high school, I said, I want to be, do the one that, do the media, you know, like a DJ or something, or talk in a radio. But then
I did the same.
But then I have to transfer school, and on that school there are just like engineering, nursing, accounting, and I don't want to deal with math. So I said, I'm just gonna do nursing. But from then on, I really love nursing. It's like, it's, you care with people, you talk. I like talking to people. Talkative. So I said, I start to love it. And then, yeah, that's it. That's how my story started.
So you were a practicing nurse in the Philippines before you came here to the United States?
Oh, so I practiced nursing in the Philippines for like almost more than 10 years. I was a pediatric nurse. And then there was an opening for a hemodialysis in our hospital. And I offered myself, I said, I'm fast to learn. And I just want to like a newer experience. Like I want to know what dialysis is. So from then on, I start liking dialysis. And I worked there for 10 years. I was the head nurse. And then I transferred to the Middle East, to Qatar. And I worked there for like 7 years. And then, yep. And then when my visa came and I was approved, I came here to the US 2017 November, but I started working Feb 2018.
Wow, you've done a lot of moving your global
citizen,
huh?
Yes, and I've experienced how it is to be a nurse in, you know, the Middle East, the Asian part, and here. And I could really tell the difference.
I can only imagine what those differences are, because you know, the interesting thing is that the videos that we're doing here, they're for nurses all over the world who are wanting to come to the United States. So these videos are going to be shown to nurses in Nigeria, nurses in South Africa, nurses in India, and lots of nurses in the Middle East. You know, we get lots
of
Saudi Arabia from different areas. So having this experience of yours and being able to talk about it is so wonderful to have you as, you know, a source here. So when you were preparing to come to the United States, were you thinking about budgets at all? Like, I have to save money to do certain things when I get there?
Yeah. So what I could advise those nurses, like I don't have any idea that I have to pay, you know, the rent, the deposit and everything. So I actually just like bring the money. I didn't know that I have to buy my furniture, and I have to, you know, there's a lot of things that you need to, you know, to settle down. It's just like you're really migrating. I didn't realize that. So it's better for them to have like money on their pocket. So if you're in the Middle East, I know that, you know, when you are there, I mean, you seem to be, you opted to go to luxurious things or buy bags like LV, Gucci. Because when I was there, I was like buying those things. Yeah. But you know, if you're planning to come here with your family, just save those money. You're not going to be needing your LV bag here. You're not going to be needing your Gucci bag or your Gucci shoes here. Just save your money, because you're going to be needing it when you're starting here.
And what do those startup costs look like? If you can list them out, because
I
don't know what they are.
I really have forgotten most of it, but I know that I paid like
$200.
Yeah, like $200 for the deposit for the rent and something for a service fee for the apartment. And when you start to have your utilities like electricity, they will have to ask you for a deposit, since you don't have your credit score is, you're new, you don't have that good credit score, so they have to ask you for a deposit. So here in Georgia, I was asked to pay around, I think, $65. And then some apartment needs electricity and gas, like it's different, so you still have to go and apply for that one, and they might ask you again for a deposit. So food, so if you're alone, maybe monthly, if you're on a diet, maybe $200, or, you know, it's up to you. I don't know how much you eat, because I could just like eat with noodles and survive. And like just buy hot dogs in Asian store and eat my meals, like, and save it for 3 days in the fridge, and, you know, things like that. It's up to you, but you need to have like a money in your pocket to pay for the deposits for the utilities.
How did you go about finding an apartment?
Okay, actually my agency helped me to find an apartment, and they just make suggestions, and it's really hard to find, look in the internet, especially if you're outside of the United States. If you have a friend who is here in the United States, let them call those apartments and, you know, ask for the requirements and let your friend communicate for you, because it's hard to find the good apartment when you're doing it online. Because I did that when I was in Qatar and in the Philippines while waiting for my visa, and I really cannot figure it out which one is good. So you can ask your friend or, you know, somebody here in the US who could definitely give you some idea which part of, like for me, I was in Macon at first, so I have no idea that this part of Macon is rough and this part of Macon is better. So luckily I was on a better part of Macon, because I think all around the US there is places that has a good place to live in, a safe place to live in, and a rough place. So just ask your friend, inquire for you, and do some research as well. Like you read comments, and those comments and recommendations are real, because those people who are here, they are really like verbally telling like, this is this blah 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 blah, this is not good, they're not good in service, and it's true. So you have to like also research for that.
You know, you mentioned credit score, building credit. If you could first explain what credit is, and then we'll go into how did you personally build your credit. So let's start with what is credit?
I don't really know how to explain it in a way like.
Well, why is it important?
This is what I understand about credit score. So when I came here in the United States, they say, okay, you have to build your credit score. I said, what is that credit score? So that they can lend you money. So credit score, it's like a points. It's a point system that will say there's like a range. If it's you're a good creditor or you're a poor creditor. So when you start in the US, you should build your credit score. So you start, I didn't see my credit score that time, but I think I started with maybe zero. I'm not sure. But to build your credit score, this is what I did. This is like suggestion of my friends also who were in the US. So I went to the bank, of course. I opened an account. I did I opened a banking and a checking account, you know, the savings account and a checking account. So savings account is for you, you know, of course, for you to save your money. And then checking account is the one that you're going to use to pay all your bills, utilities, everything. And then I applied also for credit card. So the credit card, what I did is when I got the credit card, I don't have that much. I just have like $1,000 at first, because I don't have a credit score. I don't have anything to prove that I'm a good creditor. So what I did is, since I have money on my pocket when I came here, so what I did is I buy things using my credit card, and then I immediately like pay it. Buy things, pay, buy, and after 3 days, I pay it. So from then on, I started to build my credit score. But still, you need to have a mature, you know, they won't still give you to lend you money if you're less than, you know, 1 year. I mean, your history is less than 1 year, but you should start building it until you know, like building it for years so that you can buy a house. Like for me, I already have bought my house. After 3 years, I bought my house. Yeah, I just bought my house. I want to... Yeah, I'm so proud of myself.
Congratulations. Like, that is,
yes, I'm a single mom.
Congratulations.
Yeah, because I built my credit score every time. I didn't stop with that habit of that I pay with my credit card, and I pay it as soon as I can. Like my salary will come, then I'll pay it as soon as I can. So when you were going to buy a house, you have to have a good credit score so that the interest rate would be lesser. Are we going? I know we're going to that part. Where am I? Okay, credit score. So that's the best idea I could have. Pay all the utilities on time. There is automatic like billing. They're just gonna automatically, you know, pull out the amount of utilities or the bill from your account. Use that. And what else? And just like pay on time. That's it. That's how you build your credit score. Credit score will help you to buy a house, to buy a car, everything.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work in healthcare facilities here in the USA. If you are interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. On with the show.
Whenever you went to open the bank accounts, if you could first tell me, which bank did you open the accounts? And then what did you have to bring with you to do it?
Okay. So I opened my my account in Bank of America. I brought my passport, of course, my money. Well, I think only they just asked me about passport, and this has been a long time. I can't remember. I think that's it. The passport with the visa page. That's it. And just like bring another identification from the Philippines that would work also. They might ask for a PRC card. And an address. Usually your agency would assist you with this. They might give you the address of the apartment that you're staying at, so you can do that.
And what about the credit card? Where did you get the credit card and how did that happen?
They usually ask you if you want to apply the bank, and then I also apply from Discover credit card. Yeah, and just like I just applied online.
And so you were able to build up your credit and now you bought a house, which is so cool. So I want to talk about this house. Let's start from how did you find a real estate agent and the home? Let's start with that first phase in the buying of a house.
Okay. So I was like interested in buying a house. I live in Macon and then my work is in Warner Robins. So I have to drive 40 minutes. So I said, no, I have to have a house near my the workplace, near my office. So I said, I look in the in Zillow and there's one Movado, and I just keep on looking and I just got this house that I like. And then I just press it and somebody called me up and everything's history. But you can find your own. My realtor is good. I found a good realtor in Georgia. They suggested one. And I found a lender who is also a good lender here in Georgia, American First. So they called me and they helped me set it up, everything. So you have to be pre-approved to buy a house. They need to see your credit score. They will ask you your pay slip. You have to prove that you've been working in a company for a certain tenure or a certain time. So wherever you're working, just stay there. Don't go and jump to one job to another. Love your job, right? They're going to ask you about that. They're going to see the pay slip. You're going to ask for your three months pay slip, your bank account, bank statement, your SS number, they asked for my green card and what else? And some identification like the driver's license. It was actually easy because you just submit it and they, you know, coordinated with you whatever they need to submit to the main lender, to the lender. And it's just really easy.
And then, so talk about, so you got the lender, they gave you the okay, you can buy a house, and then start talking about when you made an offer for the house and then you got into escrow.
Oh,
talk about that part of the process.
Because actually I didn't know about this escrow and everything. I just like, oh, okay, Mine is not a it's a new house. It's a house that is newly built. So I didn't ask for any offer. So they just gave me the amount of money that I need to. This is the plan. This is how your house gonna look. So this is the amount of the money that you have to pay. And this I just gave just 5% of, you can have 5%, you can have 15%, you have 20% down payment, but I just did 5%. And some would ask for 20%, I think. So that's it. The escrow, I really don't dig into it, but I just like, okay, I'll just pay it and, you know, ask for the money, loan the money, and then just pay them. But you have to have, when you buy a new house, there are some improvements that you're gonna do. Or like for me, I have a new house, I have to buy a lot of, you know, furnitures and everything. You have to have an extra money aside from your down payment. But you have a choice also not to have a down payment, because if you're a first, I think you're, if you are a first time buyer, you have an option not to have a down payment. But of course, your monthly will gonna increase for that with that. So I opted for like just by 5% of the amount. And then I have extra money, you know, to buy furnitures, to buy everything. And it's a lot of, you have to have a lot of money actually. Just save.
That's the nesting part of it. You get this beautiful new home and you're like, okay, I want everything in it to be new, just like the home.
Yes. That's a problem. And when you look, oh, it needs something to, oh, I need this. Then I throw and I give all away some of my old furniture and some of my old, what do you call this? Not appliances, you know, the small kitchen appliances. Yeah. Because I want a brand new. It's a new house anyway, so brand new.
Everything new. Do you have an HOA?
But no. That's the best thing about the community I have bought my house in. I don't have a HOA. What is a HOA? Is a housing something authority that you have to pay a monthly due. Mm-hmm. Homeowners Association. Yeah, I don't have in my community that I'm in. I don't have, but some of my friends do. I think they have to pay like $200. I don't know if it's monthly or yearly, but they have a fee, certain fee. Mm-hmm. So it's also good not to have this HOA when you buy a house. You know, find a place without HOA. But HOA is also, if there's a housing association, you have to ask. You have to ask them for any permission, right? Permission to build something in your yard, you know? So mine, I can build anything from my yard. So nobody will stop me if I need another adjustment or I need another, you know, room, extend my house. That's a good part.
Well, what about insurance? How does the homeowner's insurance work?
Oh, yeah, the insurance. Insurance is actually, you have to, if you have a car insurance, you can bundle it up with the home insurance with them because it's going to be more cheaper. Like for me, I just contacted my agent and I said, hey, I'm going to buy a new house. Would you help me to have a bundle my insurance with the housing insurance to my car insurance? And then he just worked it out and he communicates with my lender. And that's it. And then the first year of the insurance would be paid by the one that sells the house. So I didn't pay anything actually. It's in there. It's in the payment. I don't have to pay anything.
And what about
property? Oh, there's property tax. I didn't pay anything yet. Not listed on the closing cost, right? So it's all in the closing cost. But I didn't look at it. I was too excited to have my new house. I said, okay, I'll sign it up. But there's a lot of taxes that you have to deal with when you buy a house. You have to, you know, be prepared with it. It's not that you should be oh, I'm already 3 years in the US. I have to have a house like Josephine. No, you have to be prepared. You have to have save a lot of money. Don't buy unnecessary things. Like, don't buy now. If you're planning to, you know, to have a house soon or your family is here, don't buy the luxurious things. I know, like, from people from Middle East or nurses in the Middle East usually are used to buying. I know because I've been there. Yeah. Save money. And once you're here, you will really feel very fulfilled. Just like looking in the house and, you know, walking in the house, looking. And I was like, I'm so proud of myself, really. Like, oh my God, I really did this in 3 years.
That's incredible. Was that like part of your dream when you were in the Philippines in the Middle East in terms of? Like,
yes. That's one of my goal. Okay. This is one of my goal. This one. Yes. I want a house. When it comes to, I want a house, I want a car, I want a good car. You know, you just like keep on dreaming and, you know, you're going to have it here in the US. This is what I'm going to tell everybody. Do not believe what the media says. There's no oppression, like real oppression in the US. Yeah, there is like some racism. It exists everywhere. It even exists in the Middle East. It exists even in my own country, like, that, you know. But for here in the US, it's all opportunity. You just have to grab all the opportunity that comes and knocks in your door. Don't be hesitant to grab it. Whatever you dream of, you're in the US, you're gonna have it. Just believe and just do your work, do your part. Like for me, I really want to be at first, okay, I want to be a nurse practitioner. So, well, I have money, so I borrowed from the government, the Fed, what everybody's doing it anyway. So I did enroll myself in a master's degree, and I'm doing my master's degree, but then I changed my mind, and I just, yeah, because I was thinking like, there's a lot of nurse practitioner also here, and you have to have a doctor's approval to have, you know, to practice, like somebody has to watch over you. So I said, no, that's not what I want. I want to be, I changed my MSN to a nurse executive, because I was thinking, that's what I told you, like, I'm here as a program manager. Now my staff will hear me. But, you know, you know, you almost have like 6 digits of your annual salary. And I was, that's what I told you. I was thinking like, okay, I'm just like here in the, I'm in the management, but I'm in the lowest. But if I could, you know, work myself up to my master's or, you know, study, and I know I could reach my goal. This is not a joke. I was always saying with them, like, yeah, I want to be the vice president of this company. But that's true. I want to be. So I hope so someday. But, you know, dreaming is free.
That is a great quote. Dreaming is free, and that the United States is a wonderful place to do it. Do you have a family here as well, or did you come solo?
Oh, so at first I came solo. So the technique is, usually your agency would tell you that, oh no, your family should only follow to join. You should do your interview first. You know why they do it? Because sometimes your family or your relatives have a problem, and you will be dragged with it. You're not going to have your visa with you. So if you're going to have an interview, do yourself first, do an interview first. When you get your visa, you can make your family, schedule your family for an interview next. So you're sure you will have your visa. But when I came here, as what I said, I'm a solo flyer, and I have to wait for my family to come here. But I have like some, you know, drama in my life. So my children was not able to come here, but there was a problem actually. And so I reached out with my agency, and my agency told me, no, you have to find a lawyer. But I did not find a lawyer. I lawyered myself up. I wrote, because they won't give my kids their visa because I had a problem with my ex-husband. So they won't give them visa and they rejected them. So I have to lawyer myself up. So I am the lawyer. I represented myself. I wrote them a letter. I wrote them a lot of letter, actually. I wrote them a lot of letter. Then finally, I got their attention. And I did not, you know how much I asked for an attorney. And the attorney said, oh, you have to pay me, like, how much was he was asking? He was asking $5,000 each of my children. I have five kids. So imagine how, I said, how am I going to do? So for you, if you have a problem, just write the embassy. Don't be discouraged. Just write the embassy. Just tell them what you want and they will reply. And then finally, I got my kids here, except for the two young ones. I have my kids here already, my 21, my 14, and my 12 years old. But I'm planning to get my two other kids, my small kids, next year or this year, if you know, everything would work out fine with their visa.
That must be so incredibly hard to be away from your children.
Yes, it is. I was so anxious. Like, I have high level of anxiety, but that didn't stop me from, you know, working myself up. I said, no. I mean, I'm here alone. I don't even, like, my family, I have a family. I have a relative in New York, but she's really far and we didn't talk that, you know, much. So I'm alone here. So I have to be strong for myself and my kids. That's what keeps me going on, my kids. So if you feel that you've been rejected or you have all these barriers when you come here in the US, don't be discouraged. Everything will be fine. I mean, just have that leap of faith. Just go on, move on, and don't get depressed. You're the only one who can help yourself, you know, to move on. Nobody can, only yourself. Just think of a lot of good things, like your kids, your family, happiness, and everything, and you will be okay. I have been through a lot of emotional turmoil, but I'm still here. I am happy, and I'm happy to be single. You know, you have a lot of times, yeah, you're single. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. But that's all I could say.
Well, I was going to say that you don't look old enough to have a 21-year-old.
I have five kids, actually.
My goodness, that's a saint right there. And then on top of that, you're...
Yeah, every patient would tell me, like, how many kids you have? I have five. What? What is the age of your oldest? 21? Huh? You don't look like you have 21 years old. I know. It's in the genes, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
No, I think Asian, you know, Asian women don't age that much when it comes to, you know, aging process.
Lucky.
lucky Asian people.
It's wonderful.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Nursing in America. Part 2 will be available next week, so make sure you hit the follow button and come back to join us then. If you enjoyed the episode, please help us and leave a review. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses internationally. We offer direct hire, which means healthcare facilities will directly sponsor and hire you to work here in the USA. If you're interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. You can find the link in the show notes.